your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
I'm ready to talk Star Wars.
Yeah, as am I. Next, we're going to have our producer Gina on. Gina, glad to see you this evening.
Hi, thanks. I'm super excited.
My girl.
Next, we've got Peter. Pete, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. I have friends everywhere.
Oh, that's so good. I thought I should have thought of that. Dang it. That was really good.
And Steve. Steve, help me, please.
It's the end of the school year.
I got friends in California and in Washington and in Georgia. I got friends everywhere and wherever Derek is.
And Derek.
Kansas.
Derek.
Literally, none of us are traveling. And it's
I. Derek, at least they didn't go with the Kansas quote that you don't like.
No.
You really aren't in Kansas anymore, are you, Derek? Hey, I lived there. I lived there. I get to
say. I didn't do that. I will never do that to you, Derek.
I will.
Again. You'd never do that again to me. So anyway, guys, if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. And we're going to be talking Star Wars. We're talking Andor Season 2, Episodes 7 through 9 this week.
So excited.
This was probably one of the higher body count. Okay, if you don't count like the Death Star, like all the people on the Death Star, the individually killed body count. This is one of the highest sets of episodes we've had because of the Gorman Massacre. Well, okay, this version of the Gorman Massacre. I know Gina's going to tell us it's not the real Gorman Massacre, but nobody cares.
It's okay.
They basically...
Wait, hold on. I want to hear about that. How is this not the real Gorman Massacre?
It's close enough. The speech is a little off. That's it.
The real Gorman Massacre, quote unquote, is the thing that they built the monument to in this one, where Tarkin.
Yeah, the original.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
The original Gorman Massacre was what they're calling now the Tarkin Massacre. But the timing is right for this as the Gorman Massacre, because if you watch Rebels Season 3,
why you would ever
episode 18
caught me.
It tied in.
The show is awesome.
It tied in perfectly.
Yeah.
I think Clone Wars is where I got in the mud and couldn't make it out.
Yeah. No, Rebels is really well done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but lots of stuff happens here. Some of the big ones are Cyril actually gets killed in the Gorman Massacre.
Did not see that coming.
Deidre executed, for lack of a better term, the Gorman Massacre. She gave the final order.
She was the
finger on the trigger, as it was phrased. We find Mon Mothma gives her a speech calling out Emperor Palpatine. We have Bix leaving Andor because she chooses the rebellion over love, which, yeah.
I feel so bad for Andor.
He might get his ending there for Bix. She might be okay.
I know. I was both kind of happy, but also sad for that, because I do want Bix to like kind of get a happy ending. I mean, she's obviously going to lose Andor.
She's going to lose Andor. So
but she'll be either alive. Way, she'll be alive.
But she'll be alive.
Will she though?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know, but maybe, maybe.
Let's see. And then that was the big parts of it. We meet, we just see how they get to K2SO. from was one of the robots at the Gorman massacre.
We need to talk about each of these subplots individually.
Okay, sure. Let's talk about each of these subplots individually. Why not? Well, give a couple reasons why not. But anyway, let's start on a couple of them. First, Cyril's ending. Cyril definitely becomes disillusioned with everything that is going on Gorman, and ends up seeing Andor and the whole rage of him. Basically, Andor's the reason he lost his job. Andor's the person he was after in the first episode of this series. And he goes after him, and it honestly almost looks like he's having that moment of, you're right, I probably don't need to kill you. And then he gets killed. So I'm going to go, because I'm not asking, you know, all of our people over on that side. So
ask at the end.
You, Steve.
I get to start.
You tell us how Cyril's story ended.
I liked it. It was tragic. I felt if it hadn't, he hadn't been shot, he would have joined the rebellion, because he got so disillusioned. He was at that point. And I just liked how him seeing Andor were everything. He just lost it. Like, that final straw wasn't necessarily Andor, but totally lost it. And then that, just that line of, who are you? Just that brief moment. And
that was so perfect that, like, he's been obsessed with this guy for 4 years.
Yes.
And the guy just goes, who are you? Yes. And he's like,
and he doesn't even have time to really process it, just enough to start thinking. And then basically gets taken off by someone that he had earlier in the episode sort of brushed off. So I think I was not expecting that ending for him necessarily. I mean, I thought he'd possibly die, but not the way that he did. So I thought it was just brilliantly done. So like, got the shock value and just seeing that rage of like totally losing everything.
For me, it's only going to truly work if we honestly want to see, and it's going to lead into our next question. I'm trying not to get there.
Okay.
But I need to see how Deirdre is truly affected by this, because we see her like semi close to breakdown, but I don't think that's because she knows Cyril's dead. My impression was she was just breaking down because I can't believe I just ordered that. So I need to see if this actually, because I think based on episodes at least 7 and 8, I think she truly cared for Cyril.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But I need to see if this is going to truly, if he's dying like that, I need to see if it made any difference at all. Kate?
No, I was not happy with the ending of Cyril, because I wanted him to have a redemption arc. I wanted him to team up with Andor. And this episode, first of all, I watched 8 and 9 with Derek. Derek and I watched it. He had already seen it, but I watched it with him so that I could ask questions, which I did a lot. And I loved Cyril's, he didn't have a redemption arc, but like, he kind of did a little bit, where like, you could see that this is not what he signed up for. And the moment he had with Deirdre, and when he had the gun pointed at Andor, I was like, oh man, I would love for them to like team up. And then, boom, he's dead. And I literally go, oh, I did not see that coming.
Neither did he.
It was just so, like, yes, he started to lower the gun when Andor was like, who even are you? Like, who are you? I just wanted a little bit more redemption from him before. Now, I want to double check that. I do want to make one comment about the massacre. It is so interesting to me, and Derek and I talked about this, how this was a heavy episode. It was sad. But it is so interesting how Derek, do you know where I'm going with this?
I know exactly where you're going with this one.
It was so interesting because I was already like, I don't want to watch it. You can ask Derek. I had my blanket over my eyes. I was like, I don't want to watch all these people die. It's so interesting how because it was blasters and not bullets.
It wasn't that, as bad.
And there isn't blood splattering. There was no blood. There was no blood. None. How much it made it a little bit easier to digest. And Derek and I talked a lot about that while we were watching it, because this had the potential to be very bloody, to be very gory, to be very graphic, and it wasn't. And I appreciate that. So especially having just watched Daredevil, where where he collapses, like explodes a guy's head. So I was grateful for that, because my little tender heart, even though, yes, I watched all of Daredevil and Punisher and all the things, my tender heart can't take a lot of graphic scenes of innocent people being killed. So it's just, it was so interesting to me, the difference when it's a blaster versus a bullet. Anyway, I did not like Cyril's ending because I wanted him to become a rebel. So, Gina, go ahead.
I also did not like Cyril's story ending, but for different reasons. The reason I didn't like, I knew he was going to die. I knew that was going to happen. I kind of wanted him to die at Deidre's hand or at the hand of an Imperial. That's what I wanted. I thought, oh, wouldn't that be just like the best? He was trying to do the right thing and then his own people kill him. That's what I wanted for that, for his story to end. I like Derek said, I don't want to go into the Deidre thing, but I saw her starting to break down. So I knew she truly cared. So when she finds out that he's gone, I'm curious about that. And then I really wanted to see like Cyril's mom and Deidre like have it out. So I kind of wanted that to happen, but we'll see. So that's my answer is no, I don't like Cyril's story ending, but for different reasons.
So I'm gonna try to make a different comment on this. I didn't like it when I watched it, but then I kind of got it, because even in his reaction to Deirdre, what she did, he isn't really a good guy. He realizes that he's been manipulated and used, and that he didn't actually get promoted, and none of his successes were his own. And so he was basically like broken down from that. More so than that he was betraying these people. I think it was more about, oh man, she used me. And I've been, you know,
betrayed. He was betrayed.
He was personally betrayed. And so thinking about that, I'm not sure that he was really like gave a shit about these people all getting killed. I think it was more like, I can't believe that I got screwed like this, you know? So I don't know. I do agree with what everybody's saying, in that it would have been maybe more interesting to get a little more of a closure arc for him than just getting killed there. But I think also the shock value of it worked well too, that you were expecting like, oh, now he's going to help the rebels or something, and then instead he just gets killed. So I think that you know, and you don't really feel that bad about it.
But I think that fits in with his storyline, that he's just totally been used,
right?
Like, he's just a pawn. So for him to go out like that, you don't get any redemption. You've just,
right,
like, you've just been like a little cog in our big wheel, and now we're done with you.
Yeah, so it makes sense, even though you don't get that redemption arc that you kind of crave with that type of character, it still works, I think.
Okay. So we've talked about Cyril. Now let's kind of switch over to Deidre a little bit. Do we need closure from Deidre, or can she just go away? Because you got to remember, these last three episodes are going to be a year to, I would almost imagine, almost 2 years later, because I can see them backing it right up against Rogue One.
It probably will.
It will. It will. Yeah.
So do we need to see Deidre in these last three episodes? We did not see her in episode 9. Do we need to see her in 10, 11, 12? Or are we kind of done with her for what this story needs to tell? Kate?
If we weren't jumping a year, yeah, I would like to see Deidre's unraveling. But unless she's like, I don't really know. And I'll be really honest, there are at least two people on here who remember what happens in Rogue One. The only thing that I remember from Rogue One is what happens at the very like last 30 seconds.
And the plans to Leia.
Yeah. So that's, I remember liking Rogue One a lot, but I don't remember what happens. So I don't know who lives, who dies, who tells the story. I would have liked to have had a little bit more closure with Deidre, but I don't know if I'm going to get that a year later. I don't know. So I'm jury's still out on that one. What do you think, Gina?
I would like to see closure for Deidre. I believe with Krennic, Krennic's going to take the helm of the project. She did help get the mining. So maybe she'll have a little bit more with Krennic, or she might be just one more episode and then she's like, I'm done. Who knows? But I think she's still good soldiers follow orders. I still feel like she's got that in her from being born inside of, like, what did she say? An Imperial orphanage or whatever. So that's, I would like closure for her. I think there'll be a little bit, maybe a scene with Krennic about something, but I don't think it'll be a full closing ending with her.
Yeah. Does that make sense? She was born in an Imperial
orphanage. That's what it sounded like.
Because how old would you say her character is? Probably in her 30s, right?
30s, right.
Yeah.
So, and it's only 5 years.
Right. Right. So the Empire is at the beginning of the show, right. The Empire is 13 years old. So she would have been.
I don't know.
But we'll forgive it.
Yeah.
I need to see something. Some kind of closure for Deirdre. I really do feel like if they just ended it with that, it's not really, I don't want to see her redeemed. She has chosen her path and she deserves to stay on the side of the bad guys, even if she's regretting her choices at this point. So I hope we see a little bit more of her, but I also hope that she gets justice in this show, that we don't just kind of leave her. Maybe she gets assigned to the Death Star or something like that.
Hopefully. Or she works for Krennic. She works for Krennic and in that whole thing and she gets fired.
I don't know. But yeah, no, I do want to see some conclusion to that character because, you know, I think she's paying for her choices and I want to see that. I want to see how she pays to wrap it up. So
Kitty. Yes, Steve. she needs closure of somehow. I think I see that she's just evil. So even a closure of her really going all in, sort of after you losing Cyril, of like really into her job. I think getting assigned to the Death Star is an easy way out.
Yeah.
Right. But something. I mean,
yeah,
I could see her becoming more evil.
I would put her on Scarif rather than on the Death Star.
Yes. Yes.
With
the Rogue One ending.
Krennic. I think that's where she'll be because I think that she's the number two to him. I think.
Yeah.
That would be better than like the Death Star and then tying that into Rogue One.
She almost has to die before we get to Rogue One, though, because then because we don't see her character in Rogue One. So, but I don't know. We'll see.
Out. Yeah. I don't. For me, yeah, I could be done with her. Realistically, I could be done with her. She's so one note at this point. If we're going to see her again, I need some kind of character development in her at all. Either, yes, she has at least a little remorse for what she did, or she actually misses Cyril or something.
Yeah.
That there's something she wishes had gone differently. So, now, speaking of the massacre, was the massacre had all of the feeling of the barricade in Les Mis?
I'm so sorry. I didn't know this was a question or I would have saved my answer.
No, it's fine. I honestly added a couple of these on the fly.
Okay.
I mean, to the point of, you know, do you hear the people sing? I mean, it's just that to me, honestly, took me out of some of quote unquote Star Wars reality.
I'm touching my nose because it was very on the nose.
I mean, it was even to the point of the Gorman language, which was not actually French.
But they were singing, right.
It sounded incredibly French.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it was just. Did that throw anyone else off?
No.
It didn't. It
made me think of Les Mis, but then I went back. As soon as it started, the blasters. Yeah.
It definitely pulled you out a little bit, especially when they started singing. Because you were already thinking. I mean, they are very much trying to analogize, but I don't think that's a word. They were trying to make it so when you watch this show, you are thinking of, you know, I mean, the Empire is already already like Nazis, right? So they were very much trying to make the Gorman the French resistance, right down to their dress. The way, I mean, when you saw them all marching in and everything like that, I said to my wife, I was like, look, they even gave them clothes to make them look like 1940s, you know, French resistance fighters. And
might as well.
Yeah. And so, but the reason you do that is to get us to relate to it more, right? That's the reason you make those choices, to make the language sound French, to make the characters look like they're French, and even to make it a Les Mis moment is to get the viewer to relate. I think they went a little too far with it. As I said, I think having them sing was effective.
Yeah,
it was effective in a way, but it also, as I said, it took you out of it. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, where's the French flag? Get the guy with the French flag.
Wait, well, I was waiting for him. It was Jean Valjean.
He was up on the thing. He got shot.
Yeah.
I mean.
But it was just a little too far, but I still liked it. What about you, Steve?
I was fine with it. Yeah. I mean, I think that episode. Like, I need to go back and watch. I just remember the entire time, like, on edge, because you knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And I think everything, just that moment of, you know, it's still coming, and just building up that tension. So
I don't know if I ended up sending it to you guys at once, but like the editors and whoever, they're so good at building tension in the show. Mm-hmm. There's so many of those episodes that just
And the camera shots.
Yeah.
The cinematography in this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I was actually talking with Kate. It is so good because you look at the CGI, and a lot of the times you don't realize it's,
you can tell
the fact that it's CGI. Now, the couple of the senators were a little rough, but like the one that looked like the gremlin, the little furry gremlin dude, or the overgrown porg. I couldn't decide which. But just the visuals in this are amazing.
Go ahead, Pete. Go ahead.
Sorry, where did they shoot these things? Because like clearly that plaza on
Spain.
That was in Spain, because I was like, that had to have been a real place, whether they built it or whether whatever. That was not just like CGI or that was an actual, you could feel the dimension of it. Same thing with a lot of the shots in the ninth episode when they're escaping. It's like, some of it, the long shots were definitely CGI, but there were a lot of close shots. I was like, where are they shooting this? Because
it's an extra on Disney Plus. If you go to the extras, you sort of break down like episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And I think that's where I heard it, that they had shot it in Spain.
Okay.
So,
yeah, because they find places that are believably
intergalactic.
Not right.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
The shot with Cyril when he is in the middle of the fighting. And the way that the music changes, but I think that's when Derek and I were both like, that shot was so good. And him just like looking with this look of, I've been duped.
Helplessness.
Yeah, just shock. Chef's kiss. Very, very good.
Okay. So we talked about this one a little bit. Bix basically dumps Andor for choosing, I choose the rebellion, because this force healer hippie gal comes in and says, well, you're their messenger. And I'm going, does the end of this relationship work though? I mean, we have to understand that there has to be something to get him to buy in full to the rebellion and be completely willing to sacrifice himself. Because until that point, he is not.
Right. He's going to leave. He was done.
He was done. He was going to leave. And I can't say I blame him. But
yeah,
did the end of that relationship work for you? And Pete, I'll start with you on this one.
So I... that was, it was kind of corny with the force healer, but I do kind of like how they set it up that, like, so many people are saying to Bix, oh, he's so important, we need him, everything like that. And then she goes to this healer who she really believes in, even if he doesn't. And she, like, that force healer, like, senses that this guy is important. And again, he doesn't believe it, but she does. And so I thought that worked pretty well. You know, I don't know if that would have been my choice to do that in the story, but like you had two things that would happen. Either Bix stays with him till the end and he dies.
Because
we know he dies.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the way they were setting it up that like, he can't do it. I can't do it anymore. All this kind of stuff. They had to have her force him to stay. And, you know, and that choice, well, it's not a perfect choice because you always want like love to win over, you know,
war fighting.
Yeah, over war, over, you know,
revolution,
fastness or whatever it is. I think that, you know, it had to go there. And I thought that they did it as well as you could. And in the last couple episodes, I was like, I really want Bix to have a happy ending. So I'm still hoping that like she survives the whole thing, that we don't get a scene in episode 11 where like she's on some other planet and she gets shot or something. So hopefully it comes around at the end and that, you know, she somehow survives all of this. So, yeah, I thought it worked for me. It worked for me. What did you think, Steve?
I don't know. It really depends on how the last three episodes go. I can see, I don't know if this is her story wrap, but at least that after everything that Bix has been through, it seems like she's able to finally take control and she's making choices for herself instead of choices being thrown up on her or events. So I find it interesting because it's sort of another person's aspect of, I have to give up what I really want for the better good or for this person to do what's right, even though I don't necessarily want that. So it was a little hokey. We'll see. So I might need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, for me, I just kind of rolled my eyes, to be perfectly honest. It was a... really, this is how, especially like her leaving in the middle of the night. She doesn't, you know, I mean, doesn't even have the guts to talk to him about it. I mean, that's so middle school. But
he sent her a note. She sent him a note in math class.
No, put a note in his locker. Which,
she did via text.
I mean, it was just, you know. That by the time we know by the time he gets to Rogue One, he doesn't have any kind of romantic attachment. We get that. I'll be honest, I haven't cared about their relationship most of the season, to be perfectly honest. Fine, they're together. Fine, they're not together. Sure.
Kate, I'll agree with that.
Gina, anything to add?
No, I actually agree with you on that. The other thing that could have happened is she was going to die, and I thought she was going to die. So this was better than her being offed. Did it work? No.
Hey,
but I thought they would have killed her. Yeah.
She'll end up moving to Alderaan with Yorgana. Oh, wait. Never mind.
No, she's outer rim. She's outer rim. She's fine. She's on some outer rim planet. But that I thought they're going to kill her, so at least they didn't do that. So at least that part worked. Everything else was...
Well, she's not killed yet.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
No one is serious.
She's done. I think she's done. I think her story is done. Like,
I think it is too. Kind of seeing an interview with the actress, I would kind of agree that I think her story is done.
Okay, yeah.
I would not be surprised if we don't see her in the last three episodes. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So in this episode, last episode, we saw the origin of K2SO and we saw the origin of one of the other military guys in Rogue One. The guy who spoke with the Australian accent is also still in Rogue One. He is one of the military leaders. Is the fan service...
To be clear, so that's Melchi, right? So the gun that Vel finds that Melchi has, that's the gun that Andor got off of Cyril in the first episodes.
Uh-huh.
He had it on Eldani when they did the heist. That's why she recognizes that gun because it was Andor's gun. He stashed that gun on the what?
I thought it was her girlfriend's gun.
No. So then he stashed that gun on the planet when he went to on the pleasure planet.
Oh yeah.
And then he went to jail. He escaped with Melchi, who is in Rogue One. And so that was when Vel sees the gun. She's like, "Who's this gun?" And that was Melchi from Rogue. You were right that it's from Rogue One, but that's why she recognizes the gun, because that gun plays out throughout season one, and then it shows up here and they're like, "Oh, Melchi's joined the resistance." So
and I didn't pick up on any of that.
It was pretty subtle. I knew that was Melchi, but like I had to look that up to find out where that gun came from and how she recognized it. So
I mean, and then the K2SO one to me kind of hit everyone over the head as far as...
I was happy. Yay.
Well, but, okay, so we've seen the origins of Mon Mothma. We've seen the origin, which, by the way, am I correct that by this point in time, I think I saw something about how they basically got rid of a story arc episode for her. She has basically abandoned her husband and daughter.
Yes, she has left the Senate. She is done. She's done. She's now
also abandoned her husband and daughter back on whatever planet they were on.
Don't know. I guess
never know her going back to Chandrila. I don't ever know her going back there. So
okay.
I mean, she from this point forward is on the run from the Empire through and obviously, if we go back in the history, she only shows up in Return of the Jedi. She's not actually in A New Hope or Empire Strikes Back.
I thought she was in Empire. No,
I don't believe so. I think she only is in Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
But she does show up in Rogue One.
Yes.
So
I thought, that's funny. I thought she was in.
No, she's just in Return.
Okay.
Many Bothans have lost their lives giving us this information.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's, I thought that was Empire.
No.
So they mention some of the other generals that are in
New Hope,
but we haven't seen any of those characters yet.
Right.
So the guy that tells Andor not to leave, he's also in Rogue One.
Yeah.
See, for somebody who doesn't remember Rogue One at all, I missed all of this.
Well, but that's okay.
Well, again, this was me because I watch like Easter egg video. Like I watch the three episodes,
I look up, who's this guy? Because I remember him. Who's he? And I go back and I'm looking up everything. Gotcha. Who's this guy? Yeah.
Okay. See, I just messaged you jokers and I'm like, all right, great.
Yeah. And then I did watch the Rebels because I wanted to hear her full speech. So I got to hear her speech. That's cool.
And it's not that great, but anyway.
It was funny. I was reading like the writers of this show were like, "We don't have to use that speech, do we? Because that speech is terrible."
Oh, but she just renounces. She just renounces Palpatine, how evil he is. She just again says he's evil.
No, I know. I know, but it was just they're really dismissive of all the stuff from Rebels. So
whatever.
Steve, do you pick up on all of this stuff?
I knew there was something about the gun. I hadn't had a chance to go look it up, but so that one was very obvious. Something's going on.
Okay. Right. But, as I said, I wouldn't have caught all that without watching it elsewhere.
And for like serious people who are fans, you still have to look stuff up. Like, we have to look stuff up. It's not obvious. That's the thing. Is it getting too obvious? No. We had to like look stuff up.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the stuff where Mon Mothma, as I said, the Gorman massacre and Mon Mothma making a speech in the Senate is a pretty famous part of Star Wars. So we knew that was coming.
Okay.
But the details of it.
Pretty famous in Star Wars if you've watched the cartoons.
If you're nerdy. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I tried. I genuinely tried. I just got in the sludge in
Star Wars. Okay. So
Clone Wars is the sludge.
I'm going to go with this one. Okay. What more do we need between this and Rogue One? Because we have 2 years between this and Rogue One. And I have a list of several things I need. First, I need to see the Death Star. I need to see them working on the Death Star. Because that's how we ended the season one of Andor, was them figuring out that those parts that they were making was for the shooting thingy.
Yeah.
So I need to see the Death Star. I need to see at least mentions of Darth Vader. Or Grand Moff Tarkin.
I need to see Emperor.
Yeah. Well, the Emperor, Tarkin, or Vader. Yeah. One of those three needs to show up in the next set of episodes. Yeah,
they've been mentioning Grand Moff Tarkin, so hopefully he will show up. Because they've been mentioning him, so...
I do not need to see Jean Erso.
Jean Erso? I'd like to see her.
I don't need to see her because that lets Rogue One introduce her. Which to me is a complete story.
I would agree. I don't, because she only comes in at the beginning. Like, she's not involved with the rebellion. Well, she's a little bit. She's with Saw's group.
That's what I'm saying.
When she's younger.
I want to see more of Saw.
We need Saw.
Yeah,
just to tie into Rogue One.
Yeah,
even though he's not necessarily my favorite character,
but we need more of him because he's crucial to them.
But I agree with Derek on that. I do not want to see Jyn Erso. Her story,
honestly, her dad. Maybe a mention of her dad, how he was designing it, but that's it. Don't show me him. Don't give me an episode of him.
Well, I don't want to see him.
And how he's struggling with his conscience of building it.
I didn't want to see him. I wanted to just see her with Saw. That's all I want. I want to see that continuity with Saw.
I'm okay if she doesn't show up.
Yeah, I know.
I have no opinion here because I don't remember what happens in Rogue One except for the last 30 seconds of it. So,
don't you want to see Leia though? Don't you want to see Leia and her dad, Bail?
Yoda and Darth Maul could walk through a field of roses holding hands and skipping, and I would be like, yeah, that probably happened. So that surprised me.
I need to see how Bail Organa. I would like to see how Bail Organa gets back to Alderaan.
Uh-huh.
And if that's
unscathed.
or show that he's doing okay and no one suspects him when they disband the Senate. Because if he stays there till they disband the Senate, fine. Sure, whatever. But if they're going to truly butt this up against Rogue One, how does Leia end up on the spaceship? How does she end up involved with the rebellion?
Right.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that too.
I would love to see that in episode 12. Again, this is where I think we could really get into these last three episodes, really get into the weeds of fan service of showing this, you know, this is where you're going to bring up the big characters if you're going to bring them out at all.
Yeah. And according to Rebels, again, Leia is involved with
already. Yeah.
By this point, she's already been involved with the Rebel Alliance. So it would not be surprising for her to show up somewhere along the way here. It's tough to do because if you have her in any more than a 10-second clip like you do in Rogue One, is it a CGI thing which never looks really great, or do you
messages from her, or we know 3PO's involved.
Yeah, didn't they do that in
Ahsoka.
In Ahsoka, right? Yeah. They had 3PO send the message from her, which to me was kind of corny too. Please, I don't want C-3PO
and R2-D2
to show up.
I'd rather have Leia. I'd rather just have the 10-second Leia bit, or just have a younger actress, have somebody younger who's maybe like 16 or 15.
Or do it as one of those holographic messages that it's not so clear who, like they could fake it better, you know? Yeah.
Gina and Pete, in Rogue One, was Andor all in at that point, or was
from the very beginning?
Okay.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember if he was, or if it was he was working towards that bit.
And the idea is that him getting her out of Coruscant is what made her trust him with the Rogue One mission.
Yeah. So I feel like we need that. We need this total him fully going, because right now, like Bix has just left. I don't see him totally bought in. He's right on that line of which way I'm going to go. So I really need to see that part.
That will happen. Yeah.
Right.
I also think Luthen needs to die.
Yeah.
I agree. I also agree with that.
I find it very interesting where that was sort of touched on, but not, it was not like forefront, and that Luthen has been had a falling out. So.
Yeah. So how he's basically accepting at some point I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And it will be on Coruscant.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need something with Kayla. We need a wrap up for her.
Yeah.
Which one's Kayla?
He's basically the brains of Luthen.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to wrap up with
that. I've seen some fan theories on her, and I'm not going to say what it is because it's kind of ridiculous.
I bet we have the same fan. I bet we've read the same one.
Yeah. But I kind of hope that's not what they do. But whether they do it or not, I'll talk about it next episode, because if I'm hoping they don't do it, but I'll say what the one thing I heard is probably the same thing, Steve. Yeah.
Oh, just hearing you talk, I'm pretty sure it's the same thing.
Now I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to be surprised. So, okay, guys. So next week we are doing Andor season 2, episodes 10 through 12. This is going to lead us into Rogue One. Kate, you are almost done with this cycle. We will be doing a couple weeks after this. We will be doing Rogue One.
No more Star Wars this year, Kate.
I've hung in it like a champ, though.
I'm going to watch Underworlds and I'll report back.
Oh, yeah. We could have a separate talk on that. I haven't watched it yet either.
I haven't either, so I'm right after this.
But guys, coming up, this will take us through middle of May, or late May, early June. But after this, there's not much coming out. Are they still bringing out Ironheart in 1st of July? Do we know? Okay. So that'll be a Marvel series coming.
I believe the trailer is going to drop this week, I heard.
Okay.
I can't say I'm all that excited.
I really can't say I'm excited, but that's me and Marvel. So, you know. But if you have suggestions on what we should watch, especially if you want us to dive back into the vault some, email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. Send us messages on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, anywhere. We have new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Gina, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week with the end of Andor. Bye, guys.
May the Force be with you.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.